How you guys doing? Good. All right. I know it's a little dark in here. You might be going to sleep. Hey, I love Christmas. Who loves Christmas? I love Christmas. One of my favorite holidays. I thoroughly enjoy Christmas and everything about it. I got a quick Christmas story. Don't laugh at me. Don't judge me. But a really quick Christmas story. All right. All right. So I grew up in Brooklyn, which is the real capital of New York. Everybody knows that, right? Right? I grew up in Brooklyn, my grandmother owned a three-story brownstone, and on the first floor, my grandmother and my aunt lived, and second floor was my family and I, and upstairs were our extended family, and really, they weren't really extended family. You know, the people that kind of live with you, or the people you know for a really long time, you start saying they're cousins and godparents, right? You start making up stuff, like, somehow they were related to us, so they lived upstairs. And on this wonderful Christmas day, it was snowing outside. Who wants a white Christmas? I would love to have a white Christmas, right? It was snowing outside, really excited, sleigh bells jingling. Nah, that wasn't happening. But a beautiful Christmas day. I get up super early, around 5:45. I rush to wake up my older sister. I have three sisters. So I go to wake up my older sister. Her and I are really cool. I try to wake her up. She's like, get off me, right? She shrugs me off in typical older sibling fashion. So I run to my parents' room, and I go to check to make sure that they're still asleep or to see what they're doing. That was just custom for me when I woke up early on Christmas Day. I was probably in middle school at the time. And so I just checked on them. But in typical Brooklyn black household family, if a mom doesn't have to work and you wake her up, that's utterly sinful. So please don't do that. So I tiptoed, I looked, I'm like, okay, cool, they're asleep. And so with all joy, with all fire and passion, I run straight to the living room where our Christmas tree is. I'm wiping the crust out of my eyes. I'm wiping my hands. I'm like, yeah, this is fantastic. I look, and there are no gifts. Everybody go, what? There are no gifts, not zilch, nada, not a single solitary gift. And so I'm torn, right? I'm in middle school. Now, my poor middle school heart, I'm torn. There are no gifts, and I can't wake up my mom. I'm going to get in trouble. I did it anyway. I run into the room. I shake them. I'm like, yo, somebody, like, stole our gifts. This is, like, crazy. How do y'all sleep through the most heinous crime ever committed? Like, how do you do that? And I'm waking them up, and in typical, I tell you, I can hear it right now as we speak. My mother turns over, and she says, boy, it's not even Christmas. If you don't take your narrow behind back to sleep, I'm going to beat you. It was Christmas Eve. It wasn't even Christmas Day. Man, I was like, yo, this had to be the most relieving news, but the most stressful news I've ever had in my life. My name is Aswan. I'm one of the pastors here at Renaissance. And if you've been with us, we introduced last week our Advent series. And we talked about Jesus being that notable person. We literally defined Advent as the arrival of a notable person. And Jordan so eloquently last week talked about the why. Why did Jesus come? Talked about how the reason Jesus came was because he qualified us, he rescued us, and he redeemed us. And this week, I'd love to explore that a bit, but I want to talk about the how. See, I'm the type of person that I love the why, and I do believe the why is meaningful, but I do also think that somehow the how gives credence and it personifies the why. When you know how and you know the why, I feel like things change. And I want to talk a little bit about how Jesus came this week. Is that all right? Let me pray for us. God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes to see, our hearts to receive, and our ears to hear what you will speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. See, I fully believe Advent and the story of Advent could live in our minds. It could simply stay as this cognitive thing that we know, this notable person who came, but I do think there is something profound in the how, and I do think the how in this case illuminates God's character. See, understanding how God came to earth, I think, shows us who we're really dealing with. And that's important. See, when we preached on prayer, we wanted you to know the character and the nature of who you were praying to. When we talked about discipleship, we want you to know the character, and discipleship is one of our core values here at Renaissance. We want you to know exactly who you're following, the nature and the character of who you're following. So, how did Jesus come? Somebody say, how did Jesus come? So, there are four aspects of how Jesus came that I'd like to explore. Jesus came as a person, as a Jew, as a baby, and through this controversial childhood that we'll talk about a little bit. But the first one, Jesus came as a person. God came as a person. And I think about that, and I'm like, man, that's such a simple truth that somehow I think we could gloss over. See, in the scripture that Caleb read in verse 9, it says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. See, the plan all along was for God to come into the world and be just like you and I, as a person. And I think it's profound because not only did he come just as a person, but he blows our mind in the type and the way that he comes. Later in John 1:14, it says, so the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. So even if you're new to church, even if you've been to church for several times and you might have seen the story of Jesus in the manger, and you might have seen the nativity story, and you're familiar with all those things, I really, really don't want us to gloss over the fact that Jesus came as a person. God came as a person. Secondly, he came as a Jew. And to me, this is really cool because at the time, Jews were the middle class. Jews weren't the high, rich folks. They weren't, you know, the utterly poor folks. They were kind of like right in the middle, very, very average. And think about it. If you and I were God, how would you come? See, I know if I was God, I would come to earth in some sort of holy limo. I would come in some like super jagged out, some angelic Lamborghini or something, and I would fly down, and my wrist would be have watches on it, and I would tell Tom. Tom would talk to me, right? I would do something crazy. How would you come, right? I would want you to just imagine if you were God. How would you come to Earth as a very average person with a very average life, right? And some of it, look, if we were to be honest, many of us want to hear our names called. Like we want to be noticed. And so the theme of our hearts is probably this right here. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name. Come on, y'all know this song. And we're always glad you came. Dim, dim, dim. You wanna be where you see. Troubles are how many people want to be where everybody knows our name, right? That's essentially our hearts, but the God of the universe decided to come as an average Joe, as a regular person. Man, I love that about God. And think about this. Not only did he come as a person, not only did he come as a Jew, but he also came as a baby. A baby. How many of us have children? I have children as well, we provide the total care for babies. We take care of their every need, right? From the point that they can't even communicate their need to the point where they can communicate their need and we're still taking care of it. Some of us say amen. Right. But the reality is God subjected himself to be cared for by humans as a baby. The human developmental process that you and I all went through at one point, the God of the universe also went through. Think about it. His mother had to feed him. He had to learn to walk. He had to learn to talk. He had to learn to discern who were the people in the culture he had to stay away from. Or he had to learn when to speak, when not to speak. He had to learn the law just like every other Jewish boy. He had to study the first five books. He had to know everything about his culture, his tradition, his heritage. He had to do everything you and I had to do. The God of the universe subjected himself to come through to us, to visit earth as a baby. And lastly, God decided to also enter this world in the probably the most controversial baby story ever. And so the scholars and tradition says that back in that day, most young women got married around maybe 12 to 14. And so what does that mean? That means that Mary, for those of us who don't know the story, right? Mary was engaged to Joseph, right? These are Jesus's birth parents. And so she had to be engaged to him at maybe 12 or 13. And she probably had the baby as what? A teenager. Are you kidding me? The God of the universe came to earth through a teenage pregnancy. And think about it. If in the 50s, 60s, or 70s, teenage pregnancy was taboo, just imagine what it was like in those times. Just imagine the scoffing that she had to face. Just imagine what she probably went through. And I would love for you to read the story. And it just talks about how perplexed she was that God would do this with her. A teenager, to all my teenagers out here, please know that God will entrust you with some of the most sacred things that the world would come to know. Your time is valuable. You are valuable, even as a teenager, that God would entrust the redeeming and the rescuing and the qualifying of humankind to a teenager, to teenage parents. Are you kidding me? That's the God, that's the nature, the character of the person we serve and we want you to serve. And I think about it, as I think about the story, I think about Joseph. Imagine Joseph, right, Wendell? Imagine Joseph seeing he didn't have sex with her yet. So how did she get pregnant? You know, I'm sure he was like, yo, I don't know what you're going to tell me, right? But whatever you tell me, I mean, it's not going to be good. Like, we could shorten this story right now. I'm out of here. You're pregnant. I mean, you clearly had to sleep with someone. And she, imagine her explaining, like, no, I promise you I didn't. She's, how do you explain this story, right? All my fellas in here, talk to me. If this was you, your face would probably look like this. I guarantee you, you would probably look like this. Absolutely. Right? Raise your hand, fellas. Right? Yo, think about it. The God of the universe entrusted his coming to earth in this way. How amazing. Yo, what God do we serve? That's an amazing God. I want to get to know him more, knowing that my face would look like that if he came. So I'm not sure what we do with all of this. I'm not sure if Advent is as profound to you as it is to me. But see, what I love is that it differentiates Christianity from everything else. See, what we believe is that we don't serve a God who's distant, and we know God can feel distant. But we serve a God who didn't remain far away from us. He humbled himself, and he came to earth. We don't serve a God who wanted to stay away from our troubles and looked at us and said, nah, you're messed up. I'm going to go handle everything else. I'll be up here waiting on my holy ladder so you can climb the moral ladder and come reach me. God says, you know what? Screw the ladder. I'm coming down. I want to be where you are, with you. I want to be in your world. I'm going to go through the human experience just like you go through the human experience. That's the nature and the character of the God we serve. I love this scripture in Isaiah. It says, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. He didn't come as a pharaoh or a king. There was nothing to attract us to him. Just the knowledge of knowing why he came and how he came is where he wanted us to rest. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. See, but family, if we look at the passage, the John passage, if we go back to that John passage that Caleb read, and it talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. I love how we get down to this in verse 9. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own renaissance, and even they rejected him. See, prior to this, John, the gospel writer, talks about John the Baptist and how he set the way. Like, he set the stage. I think about basketball and how players have agents. And agents go and they set the way. They talk about the contract. They negotiate stuff. And the basketball player just comes in and kind of signs it. Well, John the Baptist was sent by God to set the way, to get everybody ready, to prepare everything, so that when Jesus came, people would be ready to receive him. And you would think, well, how could they miss him? If John the Baptist was sent, if he came as a Jew, as a baby, if he came through this controversial childhood, then how could people miss him? Well, the scriptures tell us that he came to his own, and even they rejected him. And I'm reminded, right? My wife tells me this all the time. There are times she says something to me, and I say, yes. And she's like, and she turns away and walks away. I'm like, what happened? She's like, you missed it. You missed it. You just totally missed it. And I'm like, how could I have missed it? I said yes. That's the right answer. That's what you wanted. I said yes. How did I miss it? She's like, no, you just totally missed it. Ladies, you know when you're sending signals or you're saying something and somebody just misses it. Am I right? Right? Somebody heard me. Like, yep. Yep. I have a lot of single female friends, and they tell me that all the time. But how? And so I just had to look at my own life. I don't know about you, but I'm going to share a little bit about my life. So I realized how I missed God, how I didn't recognize him. So I grew up in Brooklyn. I played basketball my entire life. That was probably the one degree that I got was basketball. I played it wherever I went, traveled everywhere. In high school, I don't know if it was the Daily News or the New York Post, they put up this all-borough, this all-star team of the top players in every borough. And in Brooklyn, I was one of the top five, right? I made the team. My picture was all in the newspaper. And I remember reading it and seeing it going to school. Like, yo, this is crazy. People congratulating me. I'm getting calls from colleges and all types of really cool stuff. And I'm like, man, this is the life. This is the life. Shorty, you got to talk to me now. I mean, listen, I'm in the paper. Like, come on. Like, seriously. And I remember going to a game right after this came out in the paper. We went to a Christmas tournament, and I went out and played, and I had like a terrible game, and we lost by like 20 points. And there were a few colleges there that wanted to recruit me, and they were like, let's cross him off. Dude, he's not as good as he thinks he is. And I was like, man, and I remember leaving that game, and I blamed the coach. I was like, yo, you didn't play me enough. You didn't call the right plays. Like, I need my play called. This was my time to shine. Like, you wanted to call plays for everybody else. I remember looking at my teammates, like, yo, how could you miss 5 layups? And I missed, like, 20 layups. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at people. I'm looking around. I'm placing the blame on everyone else. And I remember go back to school, be like, all right, well, I just got to keep working harder. I wound up getting a scholarship to school, went to school in West Virginia, got a full tuition scholarship there. And I'm playing there, and I get there, and I think I'm the gift to the school. I'm like, yo, I could have went anywhere else. I mean, I was in the paper. I could have went to any other school. I chose you guys, so be thankful. Be thankful. I came. I wanted to play here. And so I really thought I was this, like, big fish in a small pond. And maybe, like, midway through the season, I fell off. And I missed 3 games. I have to go to what they call J-term, right? And J-term is just, like, you take, like, 2 classes in January to kind of get your credits back so I could be eligible again. So I went to J-term, got a B and an A in those 2 classes. They were a joke. But I'm still like, yo, I'm really, like, a gift to this school. And I go through the whole season, junior year, we had a great year. I go through the whole season, everything happens. My senior year, I break my ankle. I don't get the type of looks that I wanted to get, thought I was going to go play somewhere and all this kind of things. Why am I sharing this story? Because at the end of the day, if I would have just stopped and noticed the level of basketball that I played and the place that I was at, is where my skill, my talent, and my character necessitated. That's where I belonged. I really thought too much of myself and thought that I should have been somebody else or should have been somewhere else. See, I miss God. When God was trying to humble me in high school, it took until I graduated college to realize he was trying to humble me. It took all that time for me to recognize that, man, if I would just humble myself, work hard, play hard, I could improve my skill and then maybe achieve a higher level in basketball. And so maybe some of us are sitting here today and we miss God. And in this time, I thought about 2 major categories in which we could miss God. The first was being self-absorbed. See, we miss God when we are at the center and everything revolves around us. See, we are often consumed with our needs, our wants, our feelings, our ambitions. In and of themselves, they are not evil or wrong, but when they crowd out the sight of Jesus, when they blind us to the needs of others in our community, when they become so consuming that nothing else matters but us, we miss God. See, it's cool that God makes it all about us. The notable person advent, like Jesus coming, God has made the redemption story all about us. But when we make it all about us, we enter into error. Think about business. If a business was to just walk around and say they're the best with no third party credibility, no one would believe them. If I got up here and I just said all the time, Renaissance is the best church in Harlem, everybody come, I think the seats would be empty. See, it's something powerful when there's a third-party credibility, when there's someone else to say it's all about you. And my wife reminds me of that every day. It's true. The second category is false expectations. See, the second way is that we are looking for God in all the wrong places. Similar to being self-absorbed, we expect God to wait on us hand and foot. We expect God to hear us and answer us the way we want him to answer. We expect to get what we want when we want it. I mean, think about it. See, at the time, the Jews, they had a notion and an understanding, and it was based on scripture too, right? It was based on what they were told. They knew that God had promised them a Messiah, an anointed one, someone who was going to come and save them. They knew that there was going to be someone to come and free them from their oppression. They knew there was going to be someone who came and rescued them from all the tension and the frustration that they felt in life. But not just on an emotional, personal level. They believed it on a political level. They believed there was going to be a ruler who came and told the Roman government, yo, chill, you can't treat us like this. And he was going to be big and robust and powerful as a political leader. But yet, he came as a baby. He came as a boy. He came as a Jew. And those of us who know the story, and he came riding in, not on a war horse, but on a donkey. He came to his very own, very humbly. I want to read this passage for us because I believe some of us can be like this as well. It's a story about Elijah, and Elijah was a prophet, and prophet just means he spoke to the people on behalf of God. And what Elijah did is he was in this tough situation, and he was running away from kind of all the controversy, and he was in a cave, and God speaks to him. God says, "Go out and stand on the mountain," the Lord replied. "I want you to be there when I pass by." All at once, a strong wind shook the mountain and shattered the rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. Next, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Finally, there was a gentle breeze, a small whisper, and when Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his coat. See, Renaissance, some of us might be expecting an earthquake. Some of us might be looking for the fire. Some of us might come to church and we expect to hear the most banging worship songs. We expect people to sing in the key that we like, so it's attuned to our ear. We expect to hear preaching in a way that soothes our hearts. Some of us have issues right now, and we're expecting to see God solve them in a particular way. We already have our minds made up. God, if you do it this way, I know you're real. But what I want to say today is maybe we're missing him. Maybe we've kept God in a box, and we've limited him to only these type of responses to us. Maybe some of us just don't think God is big enough to handle all the things that we're going through and that he's not attentive, but he is. See, I hope that in this Advent season, we aren't missing God. See, I ask you this question. Are there any ways right now that you could be missing God? Could you be expecting him to show up the way you want him to show up? Could you have him in a box? Could you be subjecting God to what your wants are and doing life on your terms? See, I believe many of us would say yes. I know that when we have been self-absorbed and we don't always recognize God, that we get frustrated and it could lead to us maybe not understanding and knowing what God's doing. But Renaissance, here's the closing point. Here is why I'm sharing all of this. Because even though we didn't recognize him, even though the scripture says he came to his very own and his very own didn't recognize him, please let us not forget that he came anyway. See, many of us would stop. Many of us would be like, okay, you don't want to mess with me? Then don't mess with me then. You don't want to know who I am? You don't want me to come and introduce myself to you? Well, fine. I'll go somewhere else. I'll go to another church. I'll find another relationship that pacifies me. But not Jesus. Jesus says, even though you didn't recognize me, I'm going to come anyway. And I'm going to hang myself on a cross. And I'm going to present my love to you in a way that's undeniable. All you have to do is receive it. I'm going to present to you the greatest love story ever. I'm going to come down in ways that you couldn't imagine. I'm going to blow your mind, and at the end of it, I'm going to hang here, and I'm going to wait for you to respond. Jesus comes even though we don't recognize him. Be encouraged, Renaissance. I would challenge you, please, think about the ways you could be missing God in this Advent season. But don't get discouraged. Remember, in the back of your mind, he came anyway. Hey, here's what I want us to do, and I'm going to close with this. I want us to pray this prayer. Say, Lord, give me eyes to see. See what you're doing, when you're doing it, and what I should do as a result. See, I want us to take this perspective during the Advent season. And let's look for ways that we have missed God so that we could see him clear. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for coming as a notable person so that we could get to know you more. God, thank you that you tore through the expectations of the ancient Jews, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you came to us humble. With all power, with all majesty, you subjected yourself to the human experience just for us. God, help us not miss you in this Advent season. Help us get to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen.